Hey everyone, it's Monday, so we've got another episode of the Road to Revenue series. And today's topic is stop lying to yourself. And we're going to cover the way that you identify how you're lying to yourself and if you're lying to yourself. Tweet me at David Meltzer your favorite takeaway from today's episode and check the show notes to see how you can text me or email me at any time.
This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook.
Hey, hey, hey. Good Friday, everyone. And we are here, as everyone knows, Friday training's been going on over 20 years. Welcome, everyone. If you want today's podcast, it will be every single platform. Just go ahead and download it. Spotify, Google, iTunes. Good Shabbos, Danny Siegel. I see you there. Anyway, we are launching next Friday. We're having The Perfect Pitch training is next Friday because we're launching season two of 2 Minute Drill on Amazon Prime Video. Check it out, Bloomberg TV. Check it out next Friday, an hour-long episode, big vignettes, great lessons, and a lot of energy. Best show I've ever done, so make sure you check that out. Today's training is about don't lie to yourself, which I see to be one of the biggest problems that I have, is that I create a reality for myself. And because I'm lying to myself, I am lying to others as well, thinking it's true. And why do we lie to ourselves? Well, we lie to ourselves in an unconscious effort. You know, consciously, we, you know, truly don't want to lie to ourselves. We will consciously lie to other people, but not to ourselves. In an unconscious effort, we're trying to boost two things: our self-esteem, or how we feel about ourselves, feel better about ourselves. That's why we lie to ourselves. We use it to regulate the blame, shame, and justification that most people live in the context of liability. So we're lying to ourselves about so many things unconsciously in an effort to feel better, to make ourselves happy. But the truth is that when we lie to ourselves, and then of course, we can't find outside of us what we don't find inside, we start lying to others, it just creates an escalated interference for us. It's an ego-based trigger that makes us feel bad. So in the short term, it may boost our self-esteem and make us feel better. As all of us know, when the reality strikes in, we don't. We have actual interference between the happiness, the health, the wealth, and worthiness that we should feel because we've created more interference between us and what we already are. Utilizing and looking in the evolution of this, there's different parts of the brain that harbor different beliefs, right? And these beliefs, a lot of times within our own brain, are conflicting at the same time. And self-deception or lying to ourselves is a way of fooling others to our own advantage. So we can utilize lying to ourselves to fool others as well. There's a type of extreme lying that also has a strong quantum interference. And this is an awareness that I want everyone through the patterns of their life to see at what quantum level am I open to or at risk of lying to myself? Because there's a strong genetic component of this mechanism to feel better, this mechanism to gain self-esteem, and it's inherited, inherited from four generations. So look to your great-grandparents, grandparents, parents to you, and don't just go to blame, shame, justification if they are someone who you see as lying to themselves, as what they call pseudologically in a phase of fantasia, of fantastica, condition characterized with a chronic tendency to spin outrageous lies, lie to themselves, even when it's of no clear benefit to lying. So now we know that there's two things going on. One is a benefit to us or to others to lie, or there's no apparent reason to lying, and it's just a quantum nature that we can't help ourselves but lie to ourselves. So we're fighting the conscious, subconscious, and unconscious behaviors, the characteristics, the personality traits, obsessions, and addictions. And so how do we figure out when we are lying, and two, what do we do when we figure it out? So the first thing is always is this step process of identifying the problem and then stop, dropping, and rolling. See, lying itself is a trigger to interference between you and what you already are. And so let's look at the signs that you're lying to yourself, and you may or may not know it. And we will practice these things like everything else that we do is a practice. I had a clubhouse this morning at 6 a.m. on the Breakfast of Champions, and we talk about from cell to soul. That's what we're looking for with practice, to take things at a cellular level, our own personal input, this cellular level that we input the data all the way to a soulful level of the quantum mechanics of our personality traits, characteristics, obsessions, and energy frequency that transmit as a beacon to attract what we want. So one of the triggers or signs that you're lying to yourself is, do your actions match your words, right? Declare what you want, but do your declarations, your words, match the actions you're taking? And I know a lot of us end up beating up ourselves because we know what we tell people, promise people, manage expectations, and then we act in a certain different way. We do this a lot of times with obsessions and addictions. You know, we lie to other people, then we start lying to ourselves. Oh, I don't have, you know, I don't really smoke. I don't drink. I exercise. I eat right. But do you? I have clients of mine in coaching all the time. I give them exercises, not for the exercise itself, but what I'm doing is seeing at what level can they do something consistently, like say thank you before they go to bed and when they wake up. And I'll let them go a couple weeks and I'll ask them, so were you able to do it every day? And anyone that tells me yes, I'm doubtful because it's so difficult to do and to say anything every single day, even if it takes 0.1 seconds, even if it's going to quantumly change your life. So then what I do is I say, okay, terrific. Now that you got that down, go ahead and text me a thumbs up every day that you do it. It's remarkable how 99.9% of all the people that I coach, when I give them something as simple as saying thank you at 0.1 seconds, that the first 2 weeks they're able to do it every day, but the second 2 weeks they're not. That's because they're lying to themselves. You see that their actions don't match their words. Now, another way of understanding and identifying if we're lying to ourselves, a trigger of that ego-based consciousness that takes the blood out of our brain, puts it in our body, makes it impossible for us to use our higher level of thinking, our higher selves, our higher frequency, our higher vibration to raise our awareness, to make things simple in our lives, because everyone knows you only can be aware of that which vibrates equal to or less than you. So we want to raise our vibration, raise our frequency, so we know what best to do, like to buy or sell or to tell the truth. One of the other things that we look at beyond our words don't match our actions is our emotions don't match our words. This is a key way of telling that we are lying to ourselves. When you say something, how do you feel? If the way you feel doesn't match the way you're speaking and what you're speaking, so how are you doing? I'm doing fine. But you feel like crap. You're lying to yourself. So the emotions that we have are an actual indicator, a litmus test to whether or not we're lying to ourselves, because if they match our words, then we are not lying to ourselves. But if they don't, we know instantly that there is a separation and interference between the truth and our core self. These are two great ways to understand if we are lying to ourselves. And the more we can identify that we're lying to ourselves, the next steps are much easier because we can start working on it consistently, persistently. We can start enjoying working on it consistently, persistently in the pursuit of your own potential, your own truth, and stop creating interference in your life by lying to yourself. Because when we lie to ourselves, that makes more times that our actions don't match our words and our emotions don't match our words. The next is through behaviors, and our behaviors are indicative of the quantum cell to soul structure of the, you know, cellular structure of our bodies into the subconscious mind, into the unconscious competencies, the quantum being that you are, the core genetics of what you are, the input and hard drive that you are, the programmatic characteristics, obsessions, addictions that we are. If your behavior, not actions, behavior, that's a systematic activities, right? Behavior is not just one action. It's the actual behaviors that you have, habits that you may have. If they don't align with your proclamations, which is different than your words, right? Well, we proclaim, you know, I am this, and it doesn't match your patterns. It doesn't match your habits. It doesn't match your proclamations. Then you know that you're lying to yourself. One more example of understanding that we have work. And when I say we have work, you have to realize that this is a process. And I'm going to use an example from the Jewish religion, because that's, I grew up in that culture. They have a process when someone dies of grieving. And it's called sitting Shiva, and everyone in the family gets together for 8 days, and they talk about and tell stories and lessons, and they cry and they laugh. And it's probably one of the most emotionally exhausting experiences and processes, but it's a process. And it's one in which, when I was young, I didn't understand. I'm like, I'm not doing that. That's the dumbest thing ever. What a negative thing to do, to sit around and grieve, focus in on what's missing in my life now. But that's not what it is. We need to grieve so many different things, including grieving the fact or creating a process and sitting Shiva to the lies that we tell ourselves, so that our proclamations, our actions, and our emotions are all aligned to our potential, our truth, because we need to know that we can't find outside of us what we can find inside of us. So if you're finding lies inside of you, guess what? Not only you're going to find outside of you that you're doing, but also what you're attracting. If you find that everybody around you is lying, cheating, manipulating, go and look within and see why. I promise you that you'll be able to identify these proclamations, actions, and emotions that are not aligned with your behavior, your words. They're not aligned with the habits that you have. Another indication, talking about oversellers, back-end sellers, liars, manipulators, and cheaters of self, are people who make extreme statements. This is an indication you're lying to yourself. Extreme statements are an indication you're lying to the self. Everyone out there is telling me, how can I be so humble? I love that. Everyone tells me. That's a key indication you're lying to yourself. Because trust me, everybody is not telling you. Because everybody doesn't like you. Everybody doesn't hate you either, and everybody doesn't even know you. But when people tell these exaggerated statements, and I see them all the time on Instagram with these exaggerated statements, and I was like, oh, poor guy, he's lying to himself. And God knows if he's lying to himself, he'll lie to me. And we want to make sure that we're identifying those extreme statements that indicate that we're lying to ourselves so that we can heal. We can clear the interference between the truth and us. We can clear the interference between the health, wealth, happiness, and worthiness that we already are, shifting the paradigm. Instead of going to get the truth, allow the truth to ring through you with the appreciation, the gratitude, forgiveness, and accountability that is you, your skills, your knowledge, your desire through you, your own superpowers that are your fingerprint on your life and everyone else's. Another way of seeing that you are lying to yourself is if you feel inauthentic. You know, I'm trying to find myself. I feel inauthentic. I don't feel, you're lying to yourself. You cannot feel another way than authentic when you're living in the truth. When you make a statement and you feel inauthentic about it, you're knowing you're lying to yourself. So get in touch with your emotions, the energy emotions of who you are, to create the beacon that you want to be. The beacon that will call out to the people, the ideas, the material things that you want in your life. Call out to them and say, I'm clearing the way. I'm clearing the way. I know I've created all of this interference. What am I doing to get in the way of my health, get in the way of my wealth, get in the way of my worthiness, get in the way of my happiness? I'm clearing the way. I'm going to call out as a beacon to the universe of abundance of everything. What am I doing to create this interference? And the number one thing you're doing is lying to yourself. Let's get real. Let's not only trust and vet others. I always say trust, but vet the crap out of them. Do the same thing internally to yourself. You need to trust yourself, love yourself, but vet the crap out of yourself by identifying what it is that you're doing in your life to create the interference by lying to yourself, whether it's matching your emotions to your words or your behaviors to your proclamations or your actions to your words or extreme statements, whatever they are. Be authentic to the truth and illuminate the truth. I'll give you an example today. I do a 5 a.m. show on Fridays, Pacific time, 5 a.m. I'm up at 4. I had a variety of different things going on, graduations, birthdays, personal, all kinds of stuff going on. And I woke up in my normal time, 4 a.m. at my highest frequency. I meditated. After I was done meditating, I looked up and my wife was awake, distressed about the three teenage girls sitting there, and my head was not in the right space. And I got up and I took a shower, went ahead and jumped on this show. My clocks were off. I don't know how my cable clock was off, but it was off. And I ended up at the last minute getting on office hours this morning. And I looked up and I have the wrong notes. And then I look into my folder where I save the notes as a backup for when I forget my notes or pick up the wrong notes. And they're not there, which I later found out during the show. They were just in one folder above. I had been moving too fast, or I have allowed myself to get out of focus, clarity, and balance in my life. And I lost and created interference because I'm human. And I started to institute an adaptable routine because I realized that, as usual, God is laughing at me because I had such a well-developed routine. As I had Scott Harris, the CEO of the Harris Blitzer Group. They own the Sixers and they own the Devils and the Prudential Center. These are pretty big guests. Well, I got on there, not in the right mindset, wrong name, wrong teams. It was a mess, a disaster. The Dave Meltzer who used to lie to himself the majority of the time. See, now I spend minutes and moments lying to myself because I identify these things that I do, exaggerate, emotions not matching my words, make extreme statements, would have lied to myself and tried to go to blame, shame, and justification in a liable world of not enough or just enough. Instead, I immediately illuminated, hey, I'm not in a good place. I thank you for your patience. Let me start over and introduce Scott Harris, the CEO of the Harris Blitzer Group, the CEO of the Sixers, the Devils, the Prudential Center in the appropriate manner. And I asked myself for forgiveness as a healing mechanism to the untruths that exist and the mistakes that we make and the way that we feel to match it with our words. And guess what? When I illuminated the truth, when I humbly stated how vulnerable I am and how, you know, I would say, what has two thumbs and is really stupid right there, the dummy tax right there. I feel better. I feel authentic. And I know it because it's the truth. And everybody rejoices in the truth because it has no interference. And they feel better about the fact that, hey, he makes a mistake. And in fact, one of my other co-hosts, Dave Marino, pointed out that it made him feel better that I illuminated the fact of what happened and I screwed up and I just wasn't in the right mindset for a very important interview. And the rest of the interviews went extremely well with, you know, Uniglobe, travel, just huge people on the podcast that went so well because I stayed in truth with the familiarity and the vulnerability. One other indicator. Another indicator to help you understand if you're lying to yourself are people that are lying to themselves have a closed mind, a closed heart, and closed hands. So they're not open to input from others. They're resistance, and what you resist persists because the truth has closed your mind, your heart, and your hands. So when you run into people that have closed minds, closed hearts, and closed hands, when you run into people that are not willing to take input, that's because they have a defense mechanism that's protecting the untruths, the inauthentic self, the one that has created so much resistance and interference between them and their truth. And they are incapable of sharing their truth because they are not sharing it with themselves, and you can't give what you don't have. So if you feel that you are not open-minded, open-hearted, and open-handed, and are not accepting of other people's input, then use these as indicators that you are not being truthful with yourself. And you're going to sit shiva with it. You're going to grieve it. You're going to work on it. You're going to practice this. You're going to, as a goal, try to sit within minutes and moments of lying to ourselves and heal that so that we can give and be a beacon of the truth, attracting only the truth from an abundant universe of more than enough of everything for everyone. To that same respect, another trigger, another thing to identify of ourselves, if we're lying to ourselves, is you have a terrible need to be right. In fact, a lot of people who lie to themselves are never wrong. This trigger of the ego, of the need to be right or never to be wrong, is a complete indication that you're lying to yourself. How do I know that? Think about how impossible it is to be right, even a small portion of the time. As we have noticed with this incredible technology revolution, as the evolution of data and the information that is available, we realize that it'd be impossible to be right or never wrong because there's billions of variables. And the only thing that determines when you are right or wrong is time. Only thing that can determine whether you're right or wrong is time, because there are so many truths that are not truths as time goes by. And so just the variable in the inaccuracy of time, a man-made construct 24 hours a day that gives us activities each day, the only constant construct for man, it is also the variable that does not allow us to never be wrong. It also can allow us to change our minds, change our perceptions, and give meaning to different things in different ways that we see. If you feel you're never wrong or need to be right, you're lying to yourself. And I guarantee you're lying to others. You're setting a beacon of interference from what you want instead of clearing with your beacon to the truth. Another interesting one as an indicator of whether or not you're lying to yourself is if you find yourself in the anxiety zone. If you find yourself overwhelmed, over your head in a situation, is usually an indicator that you're lying to yourself. And what happens is we have a comfort zone, which is a zone that is subconscious and unconscious in its being, where we can create activity without thinking consciously. Riding a bike would be your classic comfort zone example. There is no interference at all. It's just natural within the quantum nature of what you can do and how you do it. The next zone in these three concentric circles, the next zone is the learning zone. And this is the one where we're honest with ourselves. We spend minutes and moments lying to ourselves, but then we clear that interference by being humble and utilizing all of these systematic vetting tools of shiva and grieving, of unpeeling the onion, all the things that we're talking about. But if we can stay in the learning zone, we can be honest, or at least in the pursuit of our potential of honesty, and spend minutes and moments interfering with it. But when we get to the third concentric circle, the anxiety zone, things start to constrict. And when you feel as if you're in the anxiety zone, usually it's because you've lied to yourself and you've not managed the expectations of the skills, knowledge, and desires that you have by over-exaggerating, not matching your actions with your words, your behaviors with your declarations, your emotions with your words, all of the things that we've talked about with the needs of the ego. To be right, offended, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry. All of these are indications that you are in over your head and you've been lying to yourself. And all you got to do, as we'll talk about. Now, there's one other type of liar that encompasses the aggregate of all of these things, and it's a pathological liar. This person tells lies and stories that fall somewhere between conscious lying and delusional lying. They sometimes believe their own lies, and it's difficult to know how to deal with a pathological liar who may not always even be conscious of it. To me, a pathological liar is a genetic liar. It's just inherent in their system. And just like alcoholism or drug abuse or nicotine addiction or other things that are quantum, you know, this rule of 21 days to build a habit or chain a habit, the one that's just complete BS, because there is no way that if you have a quantum program, a personality trait, characteristic, obsession, or addiction that's deep-seated from four generations or four lifetimes, that in 21 days, you can change that habit. Impossible. If not, all we would have to do is get every alcoholic in the world to stop drinking for 21 days, and they would be done drinking for life because it wouldn't be a habit anymore. That's not the way it works. The same thing's true about lying. That's why these identifiers, these indicators of when we're lying to ourselves are so important, so we can start gauging the quantum nature all the way through the spectrum to Honest Abe Lincoln, to George Washington, all the way to different leaders in the world that may be pathological liars. And knowing where on the spectrum we are, right? Just the same as alcoholism. If my great-grandpa, grandpa, mom, my dad were all alcoholics, I know that I have a quantum nature. And if I have that same disease, that it's going to take more than 21 days to heal it. The same thing with being a pathological liar. It's either conscious or unconscious. You don't even realize it. It is something that I understand because quantum in my nature is overselling, back-end selling, lying, manipulating, and cheating. Quantum in my nature. And I've worked so hard and continue to work so hard to identify when I'm lying to myself so I don't do that to other people. Through radical humility and the trust in vulnerability, I've been able to work through these things so that I just spend minutes and moments in these conscious, subconscious, and unconscious behaviors that allow me to send a brighter, bigger beacon out there to attract into my life bigger and better vibrations and frequencies and truth in order to effectuate what I want. Now, let's go through a few other mechanisms of how we stop lying to ourselves. One is simply stop, drop, and roll. Right? Lying is a trigger of the primal needs of the ego, the need to be right, offended, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, that cause us to lose the blood in our brain, to go to our body so we could fight, feed, flight, or the other F word that Gary Vee uses. You just got to stop, breathe, drop to the center, put yourself back into the truth, and then tell the story or retell the story, then take action, or then get back up and take a reaction, whatever it may be, as close to being the beacon that you want to be, the beacon of truth, the beacon of light, the beacon of the higher frequency, the higher self, the higher power of thinking. And so what we have to do is, number one, after we identify and stop, drop, and roll, we have to stop taking constructive criticism as a personal attack. So you can't have a need to be offended. Stop trying to convince everyone you're right. You can't have a need to be right. Realize that you can enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of your truth and share it with others and allow them with no interference to be attracted to you for who you are, your fingerprint on life. Another way that we can work on being honest with ourselves is to take chances. You don't have to harbor yourself into this fear-based consciousness of lying. Take chances. Don't be afraid to fail, to make mistakes, to use pain as an indicator that you have a better place, a better position, or a better situation to be in. You do not have to hide. Procrastination. Stop putting off today what you think you can do tomorrow. Stop it. Do it now. In fact, utilizing the five daily practices, knowing your what, your who, your how, your now, and applying your why, the stop, drop, and roll, will effectuate you being honest and being the beacon you want to be. Email me if you want those five daily practices or my book. I'll send you my ebook, my audiobook. I will send a signed copy and pay for it for anyone. David@dmeltzer.com. I will give you that email again and again in the notes. David@dmeltzer.com. Get those five daily practices. Get this guide on how to stop lying to yourself. David@dmeltzer.com. One other way to stop lying to yourself, stop doubting yourself, stop questioning yourself, and have the confidence through clarity, balance, and focus of the truth. Be open-minded, open-hearted, and open hands. Be abundant. Allow life to come through you for others. with the appreciation, gratitude, forgiveness, and accountability to add your value, your truth as the beacon that you want to be. And then finally, always realize when you're in the anxiety zone and put yourself through the stop, drop, and roll. Know your what, your who, your how, your now, and apply that why to be at center, to be at peace, to be the beacon of truth, to enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of that potential. If you do this, I promise you that you will expand and grow and accelerate. You will clear the interference between you and what you already are, your health, your wealth, your happiness, and worthiness. Please reach out to me, david@dmelcher.com. I will help you clear that interference with the Stop Lying Guide, with the exercises, with my book, ebook, audiobook. Doesn't matter. I'll sign a book, send it to you, ship it to you. Anything you need, the 5 daily practices, david@dmelcher.com. I appreciate it. Let's take some questions. Whoa, they really loaded up on here. I'll take one online. Our first guest after this question will be Sean Walchev with Cali Barbecue Media, an incredible entrepreneur. What are the most common lies you tell yourself? I think the most common lie that we tell ourselves is I'm not afraid. I think it's applicable to almost every lie that exists, is that we tell ourselves that I'm not afraid. And the truth is, we are afraid, right? Nobody likes change except for a wet baby. Things are accelerating, growing. We are insecure and we are afraid of our own light. The biggest lie that we tell ourselves is that we are not powerful. We are not infinite. We are not limitless. The greatest lie we tell ourselves are all the illusions that we put upon us, the judgments and conditions, the man-made constructs that just aren't true. Because the truth is we are unlimited in our power. We are infinity in existence. We are cell to soul, the greatest and most powerful beings of creativity that have ever existed. And we are too afraid to liberate that light. And we keep lying to ourselves that we are less, that we are less, that we are not worthy. Let me just tell you this. You are happy. You are healthy. You are wealthy and you are worthy. Stop interfering it with these lies. Stop interfering with it with these lies. Happiness, health, wealth, and worthiness are already yours in an abundant universe of more than enough. All right, Sean, you're up. What question do you have for me, my friend?
Dave, thanks for bringing me on the stage. Jake, it's great to see you. The consistent, persistent pursuit of my potential. So I've been working with the great David Meltzer for almost 2 years, about a year and a half, all through the pandemic. And every single morning I practice gratitude. I do a sunrise gratitude practice. I was so fortunate to get asked before I joined your coaching program to come to your daily trainings, your weekly trainings up at Sports One Marketing. And, you know, I got to meet the team and got to see you do your stage theory and teach. Now, through the pandemic, you've expanded the stage theories on multiple platforms. You're on Clubhouse, you're streaming on LinkedIn, you're streaming all over the place, and you're recapturing the content for your podcast. Can you explain why that's important? I'm Sean and I'm done speaking. Thanks.
Thank you, Sean. So why it's so important is that we have, like everything else, expanded the opportunities and the reach that we have. And most people don't realize that the traditional ways of communicating to one another was limiting. So when we opened a store and wanted to communicate with our local community, that was limiting to the people that were aware or around that community. When we put a billboard up on the 5 freeway, we were limited by the cars that drove by every day. When we put a radio station, we were limited by the frequency of the radio station. When we started to put things on TV, we were limited. On the newspaper, we were limited by the distribution. Well, now, not only are we limitless, not only can you reach 4.6 billion people in everything you do, but Shakespeare was right thousands of years ago that the world is your stage. And so when you take that newspaper, that billboard, that news story on you, whatever it would be, all you got to do is 4 things. You got to capture it correctly to capture the frequency of who you are. Don't over-exaggerate, lie to yourself. Capture it for what it is, for who you are, because there's a big enough spectrum out there of who you are, of people who want who you are, and you will inspire, connect with, clear the inner fissure. If you're truthful about who you are with that billboard, that newspaper article, that radio show, that TV show, and if you capture it correctly, modify it for all the different platforms, amplify it to the 4.6 billion people, and then even perpetuate it so that you transcend time generationally, that, you know, my kids can watch Friends and binge watch it, when I guarantee they were not targeting my children to watch Friends, but more kids watch Friends today than probably when I was a kid. And what we need to do is understand that this is a blessing of amplification and connectivity, and we can reduce the interference if we find our frequency, strengthen it, know our audience, and capture, modify, amplify, and perpetuate even the traditional things that we do. We are giving them not only a second life, but an infinite life, because all the content that Dave Meltzer does today will be seen 100 years or 1,000 years from now, because it is captured, modified, amplified, and perpetuated. You are doing yourself a disservice if you don't strengthen your signal in this way. And this is Dave Meltzer, and I'm going to take the next question online. Next up, thank you, Sean. Lachelle Atkins, you'll come up next. Let me take this question right here online. What's been the most harmful lie you've ever told? Oh, so we're going to have to put me into radical humility. The most harmful lie that I've ever told was probably, you know, to my own family, of not being accountable for being bankrupt, right? I went to blame, shame, and justification. And trust me, in 2008, there was plenty of people to blame. And the funny thing was, I kept attracting people that were below the line like me, who not only shared in the blame, shame, and justification, but directed it and targeted it towards me in attacks, judgments, and conditions, some true and some untrue. And the biggest and most harmful lie was that I could have saved over $100 million by being honest about who was accountable for what bad decisions they were making, lying to them about what I was doing with my family, my business, with the interferences I was creating to my health, all of these things, lying mostly to myself and then amplifying that lie to the families and friends that I had. And now knowing and being accountable and spending minutes and moments in that ego-based consciousness instead of days, weeks, months, and years, I freed myself, liberated myself with gratitude, forgiveness, and accountability, allowing me to be inspired, clearing the interference to connect through and to everyone and everything. Knowing that there are people out there in the past that have snapshots of activities that I have participated in that I am not proud of, but I do forgive. And I am doing my best, as you stated, to start this, to enjoy every day the consistent, persistent, without quit pursuit of my truth, my potential, so that I can share that and be a beacon as well. All right, Lachelle Atkins, you're up. What question do you have for me?
So good to see you again, David and Jake. Thank you so much for bringing me up. Question is, you know, you have a goal of impacting over a billion people to be happy. And, you know, you meet a lot of people. You're on a lot of podcasts. I want to thank you for being on mine. But how do you keep up with the people that you encounter to build relationships? You know, because I heard you this morning on Breakfast with Champions. And, you know, you have relationships with people that are doing phenomenal things such as yourself. But how do you maintain that with your daily routine? You know, what is your process for, you know, continuing to build those relationships?
Yeah. So the key is what I call the Meltzer kaleidoscope. And it's contains this kaleidoscope of life, three lenses that allow me to attract those people that have similar values to me and keep those most relative me most relative. And through that process, these are the three lenses that I use. One, in order to maintain and grow relationships with the most amount of people that I can, I have to be productive. I have to be on the pursuit of my maximum productivity. How much value can I provide? What services, solutions, and values, skills, and capabilities aligned with my desire can I provide? So I look at everything utilizing my calendar as a student of my calendar to effectuate the activity I planned and activity I don't have planned. And of course, my sleep, because my tomorrow starts today. I have an unwinding routine. My tomorrow starts at 9 p.m. today in the guise of being more productive tomorrow, recovering in the physical sense, in the best capacity that I can, putting my mind, body, and soul in the highest position of recovery, utilizing the subconscious and unconscious connectivity when I sleep so that I can be more productive, provide more value, services, solutions aligned with my capabilities, skills, and desire. The second lens beyond productivity is the lens of accessibility. And the lens of accessibility says, how accessible am I to others? So I create rules like the 5-20 rule, right? 5-minute phone calls, 20-minute meetings, interviews, and you know, other things. And if I'm going to value my visiting time, I'm going to use my visiting time to the people most relative to my values. So many people waste their visiting time with people they don't know. I tell a story about my wife who changed my life so many different times. This is why I'm blessed to have her, besides her being absolutely gorgeous. And I've been married 23 years and she is more beautiful today than in the fourth grade than when I met her and threw an egg at her at sixth grade camp. But moreover, what is most important, she said to me one day, I left the dinner table to go talk to a client or a potential client. And I came back and she looked at me. I had three daughters at the time because I have a son now as well. She said, why is it that you care more about people that you hardly know or don't even know than you do to the most important people in your life? And it struck me, why do I do that? Why do I spend my visiting time with people who are less relative to me? And so I started to create the construct of accessibility, of how to be accessible to the people most relative to me. And more importantly, even than that, is how am I accessing what I want? Because I can't give what I don't have. And if I'm accessing the time that I want, the health that I want, the worthiness that I want, the wealth that I want, if I'm accessing all these things in efficient, effective, and statistically successful way, I'm able to give it away with my appreciation, forgiveness, and accountability. I'm able to add my superpower to it and give it away to allow it to come through me for others, allowing the clearer connection between me and the greatest source of light, love, and lessons to come through me to liberate others with their beacon by liberating my beacon as well with that truth. And the third lens, which is obvious to anyone that knows me, beyond productivity and accessibility, the third lens of the Meltzer Kaleidoscope, in order to effectuate these relationships, the cementing of relativity in my life, not relativity just of people, but ideas and content and other experiences, the relativity of prioritization by what's important to me is gratitude. The ability to find through a lens, the light, love, and lessons in everything, to learn to love the activity I get paid for, to learn to love the activity I don't get paid for, to learn to love the activity of sleep, the conscious continuum of the cell to soul of recovery. And I'm telling you, if you focus with these three lenses, your life, not only will you build these relationships with other people, but with the right ideas and experiences as well, which will just compound upon themselves into a greater abundance, into a greater awareness, into a greater ability to impact more people, to impact more people, or empower more people, to empower more people to be happy, to make more money, help more people, and have more fun. It is a snowball effect. It will aggregate and exponentially grow. I appreciate that question. Thank you so much. Look forward to seeing and being with you more often as well. I'll take another question online. Is Terry Thompson, the double T, Terry Thompson is up next. Let me take this question here. How do you deal with an employee who lies with good intentions? Well, I think, you know, beyond an employee, first let's talk about dealing with people who lie with a good intention, because people who lie with a good intention, some we have much easier time firing them or allow them to fall away. If they're an employee, it's a more complicated situation to allow them to fire or fall away in our life. And so for me, to deal with people who lie is to teach, empower, and coach and mentor them into understanding the triggers of that lying. And in order to do that, these are the type of trainings that not only do I do for my employees, but I also share these ideas with my family and friends and associates who are most relative to me. So if we're in a situation that becomes a habitual lying for good intentions, I help to bring and empower them with an awareness that they're doing it. And then after I raise that awareness, if they can't rectify or it doesn't seem as if they are trying their best to change, to grow, to learn, then I'll put them into the great chain of bleeding. And as they lie more and more, even with good intentions, I certainly will allow them to fall away, if not fire them from my life. I think we, when we find people who are lying with good intentions, need to give them permission to tell us the truth. Because usually people who lie with good intentions, it's fear that causes them to lie. And they're actually defeating the purpose of their lying, because usually the good intentions are they're going to lie to you so that you don't worry, hurt your feelings, or some other situation that they don't want you to be in because they care so much about you. But when you find out they're lying, all they've done is triggered and hurt the greatest part of your relationship, with this trust. They've created interference between the trust and the vet that we talk about. So when we give permission for people to tell us the truth, we are helping and encouraging and empowering them to tell the truth. But if we can't affect or effectuate a change, you have to go ahead and institute the great chain of bleeding, allow them to fall away or fire them from your life. But especially as an employee, it's much easier to bring it up and to hold them accountable and allow them. It's much easier to fire an employee than it is a mom. Go ahead and take that. Here we have Double T up next. Terry Thompson, what do you got for me?
David, happy Friday, man. I just want to say happy Friday, first of all.
Happy Friday.
Yeah, every day is Monday whenever I talk. But I just wanted to shine some light on two-minute drill. I love two-minute drill. And I know that one of the key things as I'm watching two-minute drill is 2 minutes is not really a whole lot of time to give that pitch. And there's a lot of things that can go through your mind, you know, and the key point there is brevity and clarity. So when you're speaking, when you're coaching, teaching, training, mentoring, writing, whatever label that we want to put on that, how do you get crystal clear and brevity when time is limited?
Thank you so much. Yeah, that's true, not only on two-minute drill, right, in life, is having the clear balance, focused, and confidence in order to communicate effectively. If you like two-minute drill season one, I'm just telling you, if anyone's out there hasn't seen two-minute drill on Amazon Prime, I say skip to season two, because it's an hour long and it blows season one. I don't like Game Show Dave. Let's just put it that way. I'm going to illuminate the truth. We got hurried into the first season. We had plenty of time to develop the show, and you're going to see some incredible feedback and vignettes on the contestants' emotional attachment with the judges. It's an incredible improvement season two. So next Friday, check it out. Amazon Prime Video, Bloomberg. Anyway, how do we stay clear? You got to practice, right? This is the key to sales, is that can you articulate the quantitative value greater than what you're asking for? And how well can you do that? And the only way you can do that is to practice making sure that you have the highest level of credibility so that people don't spend too much time down rabbit holes or creating interference or skepticism of what you're saying. Two, how quickly can we get an emotional attachment by articulating the likes and don't likes in something? And then how well can you articulate the quantitative reasons for what you're asking for, and impact in which you're having, and even quantify the capabilities using features and benefits to support, not to lead, but to support the articulation of the quantitative value in which you're asking for, to exceed what you're asking for. So in brevity, you need to hit those 5 points, but the only way you can do it clearly is to practice. And I have a one clap standard in my life, whether I'm pitching, speaking, interviewing, whatever it may be, I have a one clap standard. And that one clap standard is, am I practiced well enough to be as confident to step on this stage, to step on this screen, to step into this room, this conference room, this office room? Am I confident to stand in front of you the same as if you asked me to clap once? And if I cannot pitch, if I cannot tell a story and teach lessons and inspire at the same confidence level, with the same clarity, balance and focus, which you have indicated as brevity. If I cannot do that to the standard and confidence of clapping once, then I'm not ready. And in order to do that, it takes hard work. It takes the enjoyment of the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential. You need to practice. Don't lie to yourself. When you don't perform at your potential or closer to your potential, you are not doing the work. You're not being honest with yourself. You're not sitting Shiva with yourself. You're not grieving and creating the process that it takes in order to effectuate the cell to soul. The entire conscious continuum that will change your personality traits, characteristics, obsessions, and addictions. Double T, Tommy Thompson, my friend, Terry Thompson, my friend, I appreciate you and your compliments of 2 Minute Drill. I am hoping you catch season 2 and let me know what you think of the improvements that we've made. I appreciate you and the questions. I hope it answered it with the brevity and clarity that you were looking for.
Absolutely, man. I love it. Have a great weekend, man. I'm telling you, 2 Minute Drill is amazing. I love it.
Awesome. Keep on watching, everyone. Check out season 2 next Friday. We're launching. Got a big launch party. It'll be on Amazon Prime Video and Bloomberg. Okay, last guest after I take this question will be my 2 favorite letters of the alphabet. GG from the other side of the world. You are up after I take on this question. Advice for stopping a bad habit like smoking. All right. Any habit that we have has 3 different aspects to it. It has the input system, which is our own senses, our cellular structure, which has the inputs of our way we see things, smell things, hear things, taste things, touch things. And number one thing we have to do about stopping a habit is we have to stop inputting what we don't want. So if smoking is what it is, we have to figure out mechanisms to stop inputting that bad negativity into our lives. And now we don't want to do it all at once though. So if my habit that I want to start is to run marathons, I'm not going to run a marathon every day. But what I can do is start to diminish the amount of input that I have of nicotine that I have, for example, and slowly but surely stop the input. Now, just because I stop the input doesn't stop the neural pathway that's been formed in my subconscious, because I still may have inputted in the intermediate memory that I have the desire to smoke. And so not only do I first have to diminish, dissolve, and disappear the input that I don't want, but now I have to start working on clearing the subconscious mind of the desire or the need that is inside of my intermediate memory, a habit that has been formed. It's like a track that's been formed on a mountain that you keep skiing down and you're starting to build another track, but it's so easy just to go down the other track. It's already built. So we not only have to diminish and disappear that, then we have to clear this from our intermediate memory. And we can utilize stop, and we can utilize drop and roll. We can utilize cancel and clear, canceling out anytime consciously that we want something. And then when it keeps on nagging at us, oh, just one cigarette would feel so good. One chewing tobacco, just one. No, clear, clear. And not only do we have to consciously and subconsciously work on that bad habit, but then we have to determine how deeply ingrained it is in our quantum being. And we can see the patterns by our own behavior, but we also can see it by our parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents. And so you can imagine if those are habits that your great-grandparents, grandparents, and parents and all had, then you're going to have a bigger challenge of clearing it from your personality traits, characteristics, obsessions, and addictions, which then will help dissipate and disappear it from your subconscious, which then will help you dissipate and dilute it from your conscious need. All 3 of these things must take it into place. You need to learn to cancel, clear, connect in order to effectuate changing or getting rid of or starting a new habit. All 3 things must be addressed. You must identify all 3 things in order to do it. I am more than happy. This is clearly described in my book with 7 principles and 4 key elements. I'm happy to send it to you, david@dmeltzer.com. I will sign a copy. I'll ship it to you. I will pay for shipping. I will send it to you, ebook, audiobook. It is free. I will send you the practice guides, the 5 daily practices. I will send you Don't Lie to Yourself, all of these things together for free. Just please, let's create the habits. Let's clear the interference between what you are and what you want to be. Let's clear the interference because it already exists. You are already a non-smoker. You're already happy. What are you doing to interfere with your happiness, your health, your wealth, and your worthiness? Smoking is one of the things that we do to interfere with our health, our happiness, our worthiness, and our wealth, believe it or not, because those are expensive. And if you just put away in savings the amount of one pack a day and let it aggregate and compound in interest, you'll never have to work again by the time you're 65, I'll tell you that. So most kids start smoking at 14 years old. By the time they're 65, they would have millions of dollars saved just by saving the money it costs for one pack. So it is health, happiness, wealth, and worthiness. All will happen if we can stop those bad habits. Okay, last question from the two best letters of the alphabet, Gigi.
Hi, David. Can I also ask something on addiction?
Sure.
Because addiction is a temporary relief with a negative consequence in the future. And I think people should start asking why the pain. Because we have a bad habit to suit something that wasn't suited to us growing up, as you said, clearing that connection with who you are, we are. And I think my question is kind of tied into this one because it's about forgiveness. And you said your worst decision was made based on money and time. And how did you forgive yourself for that? Because I know it's a practice. Because I think like forgiveness in a cellular level is more important than just thinking you forgave yourself. So how can people forgive themselves and, you know, learn to love themselves and clearing the connection, as you said earlier, like what's a practice that we can start using?
I love it. So the practice is based off of the values. So number one, use gratitude to forgive yourself. So if we can find the light, the love, and the lessons in the mistakes, the setbacks, the failures, the lying, if we can find the light, the love, and the lessons in it, we already are healing it to set it up for forgiveness. And remember, forgiveness is not something that we give out. It's something that we give to ourselves because we can't give what we don't have. And all you have to do is continually work on, sit Shiva with, create the process, the practice of finding the light, the love, and the lessons through gratitude to forgive ourselves, to find peace and certainty, because the ultimate goal of a happy life is to be able to forgive the unforgivable. Right? Because we make so many mistakes, so many setbacks and failures, and then we project those onto others, that if we can learn to forgive the unforgivable, we will be at peace and certainty in what our journey is and how we can expand and accelerate through an abundant perspective. And then finally, accountability. Accountability is a huge aspect of forgiving ourselves. Once we take control of our own lives, once we realize that blame, shame, and justification is a matter of scarcity and liability, that we only create void, shortages, and obstacles by living in blame, shame, and justification, we take accountability by simply, Gigi, asking two questions to forgive ourselves. What did I do to attract this to my life? And most importantly, through gratitude, forgiveness, and accountability, what am I supposed to learn from it? Because the minute we learn from it, we've used that pain as a turn signal, not a stop sign, right? It's pushing us to a better place, a better position. We now can use faith as our ultimate GPS that not only reroutes us with forgiveness, but puts us to a better destination, even one that we could never imagine. I appreciate everyone. We're coming into top of the hour. One of my favorite trainings ever. Stop lying to yourself. Next week's topic, in honor of 2-Minute Drill, which will be on Amazon and Bloomberg, season 2, hour long, unbelievable vignettes, judges, lessons. If you like entrepreneurship, it's the only pitch only show. $50,000 of cash and prizes. Get rid of game show day. Let's get back to consultative, abundant Dave. You'll like him much better on season 2. But we're going to do perfect pitch training next Friday. 2-Minute Drill premieres next Friday, June 18th. Please join me on Amazon Prime Video and Bloomberg. Email me for my book, ebook, audiobook, my signed copies. I'll pay for it, send it to you. All the guides from Don't Lie to Yourself to the Five to Thrive, to the Five Daily Practices, to my book. Replays are all on the playbook. I'm blessed to have one of the top podcasts in the world called The Playbook. Download it, share it. It's on every platform, Spotify, iTunes, Google, etc. Thank you so much. We are at high noon. Remember, everyone, be kind to your future self and do good deeds. Have a great weekend.
Welcome to 2 Minute Drill, the first pitch only show that features entrepreneurs from all walks of life competing each week for more than $50,000 in cash and prizes. 5 contestants have just 2 minutes to deliver their most convincing pitch ever. Who will fold under the pressure?
Oh my God, I'm blowing it.
You're right, you blew it.
I don't want to get you fired.
And who will thrive?
I thought that was aces.
David Meltzer hosts 2 Minute Drill.